You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Our subject this morning is leading a soul to Christ, part 1. God says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The greatest need in our churches today, especially independent missionary Baptists, almost all the churches, the attendance has dropped. The Protestants are trying to meet and figure out a way to keep their building because so many people have dropped out of church. Well, the key to church growth is leading a soul to Christ. And according to the Lord's great commission, all God's children are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. It is our duty to be a witness for the Lord. And we realize that we live in a very quick and automated world with, you know, about anything that we want to know about. If you have an iPhone or similar phone, you can Google it and find out in seconds. But God said in Matthew 20 and verse 18, Matthew 20, verse 18. Notice what the Lord said here. He said, behold, we when we look at Matthew 20, verse 18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. The reason that we're saved, it's the Son of God. And the Son of God has given us a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We know that because it's very clear in Matthew 28, verse 18, when Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. If you believe that verse the way I believe that verse, and how do you believe it, Pastor? I just believe it means what it says without any interpretation. That if this church or any other church is going to see souls saved, we got to be missionary. There's no other way, because God is the only way to be saved, and God said the only way for the growth is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those that believe and hear, then you have a local church that will teach them to observe the all things. I shared this on Facebook, and I was talking to Tom Sutherland on the phone, and I said, you know, what did you do yesterday that's worth talking about today? I think every one of us ought to adapt that. Amen. What am I going to do today that will be worth talking about tomorrow? Well, Christ gave a stern warning about false converts. And what we have today is a evangelism program that will lead a person to make a profession of faith without ever hearing the gospel. Christ gave a stern warning in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. God said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he didn't leave us there. He told us who would. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. Now that word knew, I never knew you. You could replace that with the word love. I never loved you. But the modern evangelism, God loves everybody. And God does not love everybody. And I challenge you, the church, as I challenge many people, show me in the Bible where God loves everybody. He has a people. And his son died for those people. And his people will be willing when they hear the gospel and the Spirit of God bears witness with them. The key is we don't know who they are. But we know that if we are faithful to carry out the Great Commission, when they hear the word, when they hear the word, they'll respond. Because they are sheep. They got wisdom. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we done this? Look at all the wonderful works we have done. But God said, I never knew you. I've never loved you. I'm talking about with an agape love. That love that so many of us know nothing about. In short, Christ warned about those who believe in him to a point but are not born again. In other words, they will believe in a part, to a point. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And especially this time of the year, you know, we got everybody that believes in Christ and worshiping the baby. The baby is not here now. The baby grew up. He is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my life. And when you look at John chapter 3, John, the third chapter, and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Making a profession of faith is not necessarily being born again. Amen. Being born again is when you come to the place that you're nothing and Christ is everything, and he has granted you repentance, he has granted you faith, and he has given you a desire to become part of his family. Amen. Another false truth is being proclaimed over TV. I listened to a few of them down the old motel room, and you know, you need to be born into the church. You're not born into the church. Church. You're born into the family of God, and you're baptized into the church, and out of that church is going to come his bride, and we're going to be with him in that new Jerusalem. Oh, yeah. That ought to excite you. God said, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, except a man be born again. Except a man be born again. Nicodemus, and most of you know that over the last 40-some years, I've probably said it a few times. Nicodemus said unto him, How shall a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know why this is important? Because Nicodemus was a religious ruler. He was an educated man. But it makes no difference how intelligent you are unless the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. Right. You'll never understand the spiritual things of God. Amen. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know what that means? I've been saved a long time, and this flesh is still my enemy. That flesh still wants to do things, think things that it shouldn't. Know better because I'm saved. Been saved long enough to know better. But God said flesh is flesh, and it'll always be flesh. You know what is so sad? Some of us get all over people who do certain things and we thank them. Preach, Tony. We thank them. And if we thank them, we're guilty of it. God said, that which is born in the flesh is flesh, that was born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and heareth the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Think about the time God saved you. Did you hear anything? Did you see anything? No, but you knew something happened, didn't you? Amen. You had met the Savior. You had met the Savior. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? See, he's a very intelligent man. How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? See, you don't know the things of God through secular activities. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak what we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. He went on to say in verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Being born again is vital. It's vital. In verses 3 and 5, as we've read, you know, born again, without being born again, we cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. And you're not born again in a profession of faith. You're not born again because you submitted to baptism. You're not born again because you agreed to church membership. You're born again when everything about God and His glory changes because He taught you. He taught you. We see that here in verses 15, 16. Of John 3, he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, you'd ask a simple question. How can they believe in whom they not heard? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, how can they believe in whom they have not heard? I'm telling you, the gospel that's being preached in most churches is not the gospel of the Bible. Amen. That's why that you've got loved ones. And, you know, everybody else can talk to my family better than I can. You know, if they're in a false church or they're not going to church anywhere, you know, they'll all tell you about all the people that used to be and used to be. That's ploys of the devil. Keep from facing the fact. It's not what church you belong to. It's whether you're saved. So I didn't believe you would say that. Well, when you're saved, you had heard the word. And the word, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, will not lead you astray. Amen. Being born again is spiritually birthed into the family of God. Not the church. Not some organization. Nicodemus, no doubt, like all we hear that today, you know, must be born again, have an ideal of what the lost means by the command through the law, says Nicodemus, being a master of Israel, know not these things, Israel. Even though of his intelligence, he had no ideal what the word meant. How can that be? Well, how it is, it's just simply when you think about this, this is God speaking to me. If I want to find out anything, I can't find out the things I need to find out to be blessed of God except talking to the Lord. This is God's word. And when I read the word of God and then I meditate upon the word of God, he's talking to me. But do I listen? I mean, we, so at least some of us, have an allotted time. Some Christians have no allotted time. reading and studying and praying is not important. But when you read the Word of God and you meditate upon the Word of God, you will find out that your salvation was nothing but a gift from the Almighty God. You're born into a spiritual birth, into the family of God. Nicodemus, no doubt, like all who hear, needed to be born again. Christ explains what being born again is by comparing to our physical birth back in verse 5. He compared it so we could get some glimpse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He must have had a water birth, a natural birth. Something was never before. Until Anthony came along, I never had a son. For me to have a son, he had to go through a natural birth, the water. And then for him to go through the second birth, it's a supernatural birth. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. I know I've said this once, but I'm telling you, don't think that because you're a child of God that you will never sin or you'll never have a desire to sin.
Right.
Because you are misleading yourself.
Right. Amen.
God said the flesh is flesh. How many people I've heard in my lifetime, you're too old. You never get too old to sin. The older you get, you ought to know better, but you don't. And I don't. You know why? This flesh is always flesh. But the spirit is spirit. The spirit is spirit. That means, as I quoted in Sunday school, Christ said, it's expedient that I go away. He went away. But he said, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he will guide you and teach you in all things. Between my books and the books that Matt got, Brother Jen gave him, there's all kind of knowledge back there. But none of those books back there except some King James Bibles. We even got some Bibles that got the word Bible on it that shouldn't even have Bible written on it. They're jokes. Why did you put them back there? I want you to see the difference. I want you to see the difference. See, this is the inspired Word of God. And what you've got to be convinced yourself is that I use myself. When I first started going to Grace Baptist in Georgetown, I sat there and listened. I was quiet, didn't make any racket, didn't make any scene, but I would leave about every service saying, he's got to be the dumbest man I've ever heard in my life. Didn't somebody help him in? You know, so I'd go home and I would study and study and study and trying to prove him wrong. You know what that study did? It caused God to save me. So I'm living proof that just Bible reading and Bible studying works. It works. That was born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, marvel. In other words, don't be amazed. That flesh will always be flesh. And the older you get, you'll still wonder, why do I think some of the things I think? And why do I meditate on some of the things I meditate on? Because this flesh is your enemy. You know how I know? We'll take care of the flesh when it gets just a small dent. The heart can rust out and we'll very seldom pay attention to it. But it's the inward man that calls the outward man to act the way it should. And the more you feed that inward man, the more that outward man will portray his Savior. John chapter 1 and verse 12 said, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power. Now, listen to this. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power of God to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Amen. So, it's not can God save you, it's the fact, do you want to be saved? It's not the fact that you can't become a stronger Christian. Do you want to become a stronger Christian? Are you satisfied where you are spiritually? God said, but as many. Then he goes on in verse 13 and he said, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're not guaranteed to be saved because your parents are. You're not guaranteed to be saved because your daddy's a preacher. Which were born not of the blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Romans chapter 8, knows what God says. When we look at the book of Romans, and we see here in chapter 8, and verse 14, God said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's not led down the aisle for some number-driven preacher or some number-driven deacon, or you need to walk down the aisle because, you know, mom is saved and you're saved and we need to have the whole family saved. That's not how it's done. God said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When God leads you, and he will lead you, and all you got to do is accept him. Take your place as a sinner. God makes it very clear when he says here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. But he said that ye, in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, my Father. See, it's not important. When you read John 3:16, you say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, if that whosoever, if you can't put your name there and know that God sent his Son into the world to die for you. Amen. One step further, you need to understand, if everybody else was saved, God still would have to go to that cross to die for you. You're important. And you say, I'm nothing. Most of us are nothing, but we crossed a lot. God said in verse 16, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. Now, this is how you can know that, you know, you're not sorry that God saved you, you know. I've talked to people that didn't come right out and say it, but they'll indicate, you know, I never had these problems until I got real close to the Lord. Bless you. Well, look what God said. In verse 18, he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, I tell most people I'm counseling about finances or going to school or whatever, I usually bring this in. Are you willing to do what you don't like to do for a short time so you don't have to do what you don't like to do for the rest of your life? Amen. Well, am I willing to suffer at this present time for the Lord knowing what I have waiting for me? And I won't fool you. I won't lie to you. You get out in public and you start, I mean, this is, well, I have to say it, because knowing me, if I don't say it now, I'll forget to say it. In one of her appointments, had a little small bag, you know, sort of about a 2 inch by 1.5 inch, seal it, you know. So I picked it up, and inside of it had 3-4 little cracks in it. Then I went up to the next appointment and they had these little bitty books, you know, the Gospels, you know, about 1.5 inches by 1.5 inches. You know, you can make them on the computer. You can cut them out with a paper cutter. You can staple them right in the middle. It's just about less than the size of a credit card. Tells a man how to be saved. Well, I asked the lady, I said, how many of these can I have? She said, well, we usually, you know, let people take them one at a time, but most people pick it up, read it, and put it down. I said, man, I won't pick it up and read it, put it down. I'll pick it up, read it, and pass it on. So she gave me a few of them. And I want to get home. I'm going to start making them. I'm going to give everybody that breathes or talk to me one of those. It's just simple. Ain't got no church. Ain't got just a plan of salvation in clear words. You know what will happen if one person reads it and one person is saved? When I get the glory, I'll find that out. You know what I'm going to find out at the judgment seat of Christ? I'm going to see God cast souls into hell. Some of them I met, but I didn't take the time to tell them about Jesus. We need to get a burden on our hearts for lost people
If you think the second coming of Jesus Christ is not close, you're not looking at the religious scene. You're not looking at the political scene. You're not looking at the weather scene. I'm telling you, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Christ died on the cross that I may have life, that I may have it abundantly. As we close for dinner here, turn with me to John. John chapter 3, verse 14. God said, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Isn't it wonderful to think? That you should be an instrument in the hands of God to save one of his elect. Amen. Said I, can't witness to people. Man, you know, and I realize, I apologize to the church for many things we have talked about that haven't had done. Some things you have to do first that have to be done. But you know, that's the right track. Right. Not just any track, but the right track. What God can do with it. And I told one of the doctors down there, I said, you know, this is a great hospital. He said, well, we have a desire to help people. I said, but let me share something with you, Doc. This is the first hospital I've been in that where there's Bible tracts about everywhere. I told somebody, we went to Waffle House to eat, and when we went to leave, the lady at the door, that's the cash register, said, y'all's lunch has been paid for. I said, you know, we ought to make a habit of doing some nice deed to somebody. Amen. Every time we can. The only thing that man seen me and my wife do was bow our head and thank God for the food before we ate. Amen. And I asked her, I said, is he a Christian? She said, yeah. He makes a point every Friday he comes in here and he buys somebody's breakfast every Friday. How God has blessed us. Amen.